Let's go.
It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live.
Always local.
Always entertaining and educating South Florida. Celebrating over 30 years, Hot Talk continues to be the pulse of South Florida. Relevant, engaging, informative. Produced by Missy Bailey. Now, here's your host, Jill Tracy.
Welcome to Hot Talk. Thank you for joining us once again. South Florida's number one community affairs show, each and every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. We labor here to highlight the achievements and discuss the challenges of our community with you and an engaging panel of guests. And we invite you to join us. 888-550-9105 is the number. I need the button. Okay. Yeah. Woo. Thank you. So, Missy, so I have successfully given you the cold that I brought from Detroit, and then you have given it to Pam, and listen, where was I? Oh, I was at breakfast with Natalie Piner, Queen Piner, and literally everybody Robert got it, everybody in the restaurant was like coughing or sneezing or something. It was a very small one. So, okay, not everybody. So 80%. We're doing that. But it's going around. It's everywhere. I wonder what that is. And why can't they cure as much money as we donate to stuff? Why can't they cure the common cold? That's a whole nother thing. You know, I was talking about, okay, wait, hold the phone. Remember when I was talking about Delta Airlines and the whole pink thing, and I didn't appreciate them getting me to pay $2 for a pink lemonade so that they could donate it to breast cancer awareness in the name of Delta Airlines? Okay, why did I read it in a magazine? Hello. I was like, you know, see, somebody else felt the same thing I did sitting on the plane. Well, there is like this like pink backlash now because a lot of the organizations are saying that companies are using it as a marketing tool, and they're really not donating the type of money that they claim that they are or that they should be. Wow. And the fact that there have been, I mean, you think about everywhere you go, somebody's raising money for breast cancer awareness, and yet we are nowhere near a cure and nowhere near being able to help and service all the women who are suffering with breast cancer. So there is a lot. And I guess, you know, that becomes the problem. And is Susan G. Komen the only one getting the money? You don't really know because it's just wrapped in this pink, big pink bow. And you think it's pink. I'm going to give my money. And yeah, no. We need to do a whole charitable show because there's some really good ones out there. And then there's some that are just crapolas. So tonight on Hot Talk, this week's protest during a speech by presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton at Clark, the Black Lives Matter movement spoke out, but are they on the verge of losing credibility? Are they just talking loud and saying nothing, which I heard a lot of since Saturday? I watched all the Sunday morning shows. Oddly enough, was it Reliable Sources on CNN was really the only one to cover it at any length, but we're going to talk about that tonight. Tonight, the fallout on the assault on Spring Valley High. Now, I'm hoping that this was a hoax online because I was Googling Spring Valley High earlier. I saw it. The Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. Is that a real paper? Because I couldn't find... Okay, I'm sorry. Let me fill you in. So, in this paper called The Inquisitor, if you're on the computer, Google it. It says that the students had led a stand-in boycott to support the officer that was fired. And they raised money. And they, you know, a GoFundMe or something to that effect for him. Like I said, when I went to Google, I couldn't find that anywhere else. Just this Inquisitor. So if anybody knows what that is, hit us up, 888-550-9105. Because I want to believe that story was a hoax. But we will see. That brother is crazy. You said that. But no, for real, he really might be. Black men and depression is real. And we're talking about it here tonight. I heard Terry Williams on a podcast with Kevin Ross. And it was a really powerful conversation. And then I saw it followed up with a story in Juneteenth. And so I thought, you know, that it, when you think about it, it is challenging. It's hard out here for a pimp. No, it's hard out here for black people. Period. All of us. So we're going to talk about that. And it's time to have a difficult conversation about race. Where do we really start? We'll talk about that with a dear friend of mine and now friend to the show that I found him. He'll be here every other week. I'll be like, is he on that again? And moving on up is going to mean moving on out to thousands of inner city residents. No, it's not funny, but we've been talking about it quite a lot. Author Robert Earl is going to listen. So author Robert Earl, who did Miami Contingent, the book, if you don't have it, you can call us up and get it while he's here. Maybe he's even going to read a little something from it tonight. I don't know. Maybe he'll find a piece of a passage that he'll read for us. But we were at, we went to lunch and we were talking. He was telling me about, you know, these programs. He's also a realtor. He's been in real estate for quite some time. And he was telling me about all these programs that people are not taking advantage of. And, you know, he's like, I put it on my Facebook page all the time, you know, just sharing it. And I'm like, well, what is it? He was like, well, you know, it's hardship. And, you know, if you're going through, a hardship, like, you know, real estate just hasn't been what it, you know, has been in the past couple of years and you need a little help, you know, there are programs through banks that you can get it. As a matter of fact, I now have a deal. No, not me, but Robert Earl has a deal with Citibank, and they are paying his mortgage for the next year because, you know, he's suffering a hardship and, you know, he doesn't want to lose his house. How many of you are suffering a hardship and could use a bank to step on in and pay your mortgage for the next year? I heard hands going up all over South Florida. Is this 888-550-9105? You can you're gonna call and talk to Robert, and we'll talk about his book and some other good stuff coming up. But first, it was all Halloween. Did you celebrate Halloween? I don't, you know,
harvest.
What is that? It's your alternative to Halloween. Missy doesn't have a mic because we have all of them used for our guest. So I will be interpretive speaking for Missy Bailey tonight. So what do you all do with the harvest? Pumpkins. The kids get candy. And okay, well, Lola and Princess made sure that there were no children getting candy at my house. Lola and Princess are my small, furry children who scared off every child that came near my door. I mean, literally. They were like... Because Lola, I mean, she's, you know, she's little and thick. So when she's like me. When she hit the door, it's like, and that alone scared the kids. Because she would just like jump at the window like, ah. And then that bark. Yeah, so we didn't have to disperse candy at my house. But I saw a really interesting meme on Instagram that said, for Halloween, why don't you dress up as the person you pretend to be on social media? I was like, okay, that's a classic. Wow. It's good though, right? And then, you know, we were talking about, I was on the phone with Alana, and we were talking about the filters, you know, and how, what did she tell me? 50% of the people who put pictures on Facebook and Instagram are using filters.
Exactly.
And it, you know, washes away who you really are. I mean, that's the whole point of a filter, to filter out and make you look like somebody that you really aren't. But you know what? I've never, I have a friend, I won't mention his name, who had a very old picture of himself on Facebook for a long time. And I thought, you know, if somebody meets you, she's going to go, where's the man on Facebook? Because that was you 15 years ago. But not so much anymore. But now he's, you know, he's morphed into a whole nother thing now. So anyway, Did you, wait a minute, and let me back up one more time. Did you know that there was a movement to boycott BET because they did not air the Million Man March 10-10-15? You knew that. Did anybody else know that?
No.
Yeah.
You knew that too?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. But indeed, but it didn't work because everybody watched the BET. They wanted to boycott people watching the BET Hip Hop Awards, which was 3 days after. And, yeah.
Well, they're going to watch the...
That's what I'm saying. It was like, you know. But listen, we had that conversation here many, many times about the Million Man March. And there just wasn't the same kind of enthusiasm this time as it was the last time. My panel is in the room with me now, and I'll introduce everybody properly. Properly. A little bit later, but that was Henry Crespo you just heard. And over to my right, I have Robert Earl. How you doing?
Good.
And I have the wonderful Dr. Taz.
What's up?
I'll tell you his real name later, but we call him Taz. We love him as Taz. So when I had the brothers from the temple in Fort Lauderdale here, we talked about it at length. It was before the march, and they were, you know, the level of calls that we got from people wanting to talk about it were very interesting. But, you know, I told them, and I will say it again, that I just didn't feel like there was a lot of enthusiasm for this march as there was for the first time. I mean, Taz, what do you attribute that to?
I mean, I think what really became of the first march, people got a lot of excited, and, you know, black folks, I think, were just moved by the idea of having a Million Man March.
Mm-hmm.
And I think given what's been happening to black males as a sort of since then,
mm-hmm.
there people are just not what's really happened to the black community since the Million Man March.
What
has
really
happened?
The
first one, right.
Yep.
What has happened, really?
Mm-hmm.
And we see from the first one that black men have been just brutalized, victimized. And so the second march, you know, people went, I think, just more so to share their feelings about black community and what's been happening to blacks in, you know, in different parts of America, as opposed to any form of action that's going to happen. What's going to come out of this? What will come out of this?
Well, you know, that is a big problem that we're having just all over. That these marches and rallies, are they leading to action? Just like you said, I mean, can we? And that's a question that I should have asked them when they were here, but I'll have them mm-hmm. back. You know, what tangible results do we have from the first Million Man March? Anybody want to chime in on that? Brother Albert may be able to help us with that. You can give us a call, 888-550-9105. But closer to home, we have elections next week. Miami, Hialeah's primary, Miami's general municipal, and Miami Homestead general election. And here with a political update is Henry Crespo.
Well, you just Henry. Put me on the spot. You know, I'm pulling the files out.
Henry Crespo is no stranger to high-spirited opposition that comes with the territory of being an elected leader married with four children. Crespo was elected president of the Democratic Black Caucus of Florida in 2013. And the Democratic Black Caucus Florida was established in 1983 to unite and increase, he's falling off the chair,
yes.
and increase political power for black Democrats. There, they are responsible for more than 17 local Democratic Black Caucus chapters with 425 members and 1.2 million African American Democratic voters. Capturing 85% of the vote. Like, you did that. You did the thing. 85%. That's pretty good. Crespo's election signaled a new mandate, and Crespo, a Miami-Dade resident with solid community activist experience an appealing leadership style is ready for change and transparency. Please welcome.
Where did you get all of that?
Henry
that's the first time I heard all that stuff, Jill. I swamped, at like 94% in my first
election. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's get that right.
Not 85, but 94.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you know what? I have a thing. I love people's bios. And I've, you know, in all the years I've been writing, I get a lot of them. And I like to, and I rewrite them. Well, it's like, you know. So you're welcome.
Well,
and
thank you.
That'll be, no.
I need to get that so I can.
Yeah, you can use that. There you go.
But I did want to say, when you talked about the Million Man March, thank you, Jill, for that wonderful introduction. You know, 20 years ago, the march was about atonement. And, you know, and when, you know, the Minister Farrakhan went out and did his thing, he announced it about a year or so prior.
Right.
And he went to the Javis Center, you know, it was in New York. He was in the old Miami Arena. I mean, he traveled the whole country. He laid the foundation. And this time around, he's older now. So it wasn't that same energy, but they still had a great turnout. You know, the fact is, the problem is just with all these things is that, you know, what's the after movement, you know?
Right.
Because everything is not black and white no more. Everything is covert, other than black males getting killed, you know, disproportionately, and sisters getting dying in the prisons, disproportionately.
In the first one, right. You know but you know what? But here's the thing. There wasn't a lot of coverage, period.
Well, the coverage, because we don't really, you know, the first one, you had a whole entourage of leaders. You know, you had the National Black Mayors Conference. You had, you know, Jesse. You had Farrakhan. You had people from the ministers. Yeah, well,
Diddy was there. I mean, they weren't as visible. They weren't on stage like they were for the last one.
Right.
But they were there in a crowd. Baby was there. He threw some dollars up in the air and, you know.
You talking about the rappers?
Pop some bottles.
You talking about the rappers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, the last time it was all these political leaders and it was different denominations and different political leaders. I mean, it was just a whole different ballgame. Today, Farrakhan comes to the table, they running the other way. As it relates to the leadership, how many leaders do you see sitting down with Farrakhan today?
Why do you think that is?
I just think because, you know, the Muslim thing going on and in the media, you know, we don't have no media that we really control in a sense. And the ones that we do ain't doing that, like Oprah with her, you know, Oxygen and what's his name with the lady, Karen, what's her last name, owns TV One?
Kathy Hughes. You would say Radio 1 on a Cox Media Group station. You're really
well. Bright. Tom Joyner's in the morning. He's on here in the morning show.
Yeah, Tom Joyner is. Yeah, but that's not Kathy. Anyway,
excuse me, but you know what I'm saying. I didn't say it intentionally. Yes. I'm sorry about that. But we're talking about the whole.
I kid with you.
Yeah, but we're talking about this whole media presentation. Now, Melissa Harris that's on TV shared something on it, but it was no real coverage. On C-SPAN, it was last time it was on C-SPAN.
Yeah, PET. I mean, hello, if we don't show it, but then again, Sumner Redstone
is owned by Viacom now.
Right,
but
so
then
there
it was
you go.
Ben Johnson, so he probably felt the, you know. So, you know, it's.
But we did not show that. Would you agree, Robert, that we did not show that level of interest this time as we did in the first one?
That's what it seems like. Seems like nobody was paying attention.
Yeah. And not even though things are worse than...
People struggling right now. People
yeah, but remember, I mean, let's keep it real. The first one was... I mean,
95, you had a little money. I think Clinton, who's president then? Was it Clinton?
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Wow, we had a break already?
Yeah, people had some money in their pocket to go and get a room and catch the bus. Today, people just trying to come up right now off the recession.
That's what I'm saying.
Money ain't flowing like it used to.
That's what I'm saying.
It's hard for a pimp out there. Even
it's
a pimp.
Listen, about it, man. It's hard for a would-be pimpette.
Would-be You need, what's his name, Iceberg Slim back in the game.
Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that, and that brother is crazy, like, no, for real. For real, he really might be. Black men and depression, it's real. We're going to talk about it coming up right here on Hot Talk.
It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. always local. Produced by Missy Bailey. Coming January 1st, 2016. That's right, family. Start 2016 with the R&B supergroups of the 80s and 90s. New Edition. American Idol winner Fantasia. Old school hip-hop legend Dougie Fresh.
This is called The Show.
Demetria McKinley. And the reunion of Miami's own True Live Crew.
Come with me and let me
with Uncle Luke at Miami Funk Fest 2016. It's going down New Year's Day at Miramar Regional Park. Tickets go on sale now. But you already know you can win the most free tickets on Hot 105 at 6 a.m., noon, and 9 p.m. Or download our free Hot 105 app for more chances to win. Always more at Hot105FM.com.
Foodies, are you ready for the most delicious experience of the year? The Miami Gardens Wine and Food Experience, presented by Councilwoman Lisa Davis, is Saturday, November 14th. Special guest, TV and film superstar Amari Hardwick will be there. Enjoy an elegant, grown, and sexy night of master chefs, sumptuous culinary delights, beautiful people, specialty cocktails by Tito's Handmade Vodka, and exciting live entertainment all night long. Partial proceeds to the Women's Fund of Miami-Dade. Tickets at Miami Gardens Wine Food EXP.com. This will be an experience like no other.
Attention, here is a very important message. Are you sad, lonely, worried, depressed? Are you having problems in your love life or in your home? Are people against you? Would you like more happiness, success, and good luck in your life? Well, my friends, I have wonderful news for you. Help for you is right here, right now. Mrs. Davis, the world's most powerful spiritual advisor, is here to help you with all of your problems. Mrs. Davis has been helping people with their problems for over 20 years. Does bad luck follow you around? Then you need to call Mrs. Davis today for an appointment. Mrs. Davis can help you no matter what your problems are. So don't wait. Call Mrs. Davis at 954-549-4427. That's 954-549-4427. And make an appointment with her today. That's 954-549-4427. Don't wait. Call now. 954-549-4427. Call now.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org, a public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm Jonah in the morning in Miami. Hot 105.
Mr. Norman Lear, what do you think about reality television today?
You know, I can't tell you a reality show I've seen.
Good for you.
What do you think about the GOP race?
I think, it soured a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think the American people have taken Donald Trump and they've made him the middle finger of their right hand.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
Hot 105.
To join Hot 105's Hot Talk right now, call 1-888-550-9105.
And we're back. Wow, there you go. That was like a slap of like, run, we're back on Hot Talk. Thank you for joining us, 888-550-9105, if you would like to join the conversation. So, what do you think, Black We haven't got to Black Lives Matter yet, but that's next up. But we are still talking about the fact that BET did not air the Million Man March. And, you know, media just was not all over the Million Man March this time. What was the problem? What happened? Why weren't we there? Demetrius on line one, welcome to Hot Talk. So what's up?
Hey, Jill. Hey, this is Demetrius 305.
How are you, babe?
I'm fine. I see you have a strong panel, Mr. Crespo, Mr. James in there.
Yes, and Taz, who you will meet shortly.
Okay, cool.
So now, so what do you think, D? Why weren't we as strong on the Million Man March this time as we were 20 years ago?
Well, Mr. Crespo, he said it accurate because, you know, he did a year campaign before he rolled that out. And this time around, it was not like that. And, you know, this time around, you know, I mean, everything with the Muslim thing has basically been attacked. And, you know, and I just think, you know, nobody is saying want to spare no energy with it because you got the ISIS float that's there on the TV
that's
every day.
That's
you know,
that's
just a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well.
And it make it, is this a negative smirk that's over that? Farrakhan, he basically was doing the right thing to get brothers together, to come together. And, you know, I think when you do a movement like that, you got to look at what happened after the last one, what went on, right. What successfully happened instead of us going out there marching and getting a good prep talk and to return back to our city. But really, actually, Jill, I did call in to speak on that, but also the Black Lives Matter. And I know you're doing this show and you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
My whole concern is when we're talking about the killings and the shootings and our families, this problem. I just think that it's one thing, and I tell this, and I've been speaking this for years. The black families is destroyed. If we don't return back to men in these households, these women submit to their men, and they're doing the right thing, and they're teaching their children, and they're taking their children outside of the neighborhoods and showing them that there's another world, kissing them and hugging them and telling them that you can be anything in the world and love your neighbor, we're going to have a major problem. And we don't teach them about health, banking, education, hospitality. You know, we got a young generation don't even say good morning to adults now. So this is a major problem. And I'm talking age 26 years old not saying it. I'm not talking about infants. I'm talking about our households is destroyed.
That's true. We got
McDonald's opening up on Christmas. Now, that let us know that we are in trouble.
To me, it's true.
McDonald's to open up when black families
it's
was
true,
strong,
though.
We stewed it down and we did everything to it. Made sandwiches and everything.
Okay.
Now it's opened up a half a day on Christmas Day. Let it know that there's no family, you know, and that's where our major problem is. Men have to return back to the houses. Women have to submit to their men. They have to get into their children, take them fishing, take them to the elephants or whatever it is. But it's a major problem with family structure. I don't care about religion, race, whatever. If we don't get that together, we have a major issue. And I don't care if it's a Spanish or Jamaican or not a Jamaican because Jamaican is a black American as well. We is in some trouble because the household is attacked. Satan is attacking the household.
Well, we have talked about that tremendously. And I'm working on a show right now called You Can Learn a Lot from Immigrants. Because I think that our immigrant communities, Haitian, Jamaican, Cuban, Puerto Rican,
Mexican,
all have, you know, retain a strong sense of family that I think we've lost. And in the African American community, we've lost completely.
Real quick,
yes, sir.
This is their activity. They go to Taco Bell, Burger King, Papa John, Chinese rice. They eat across the board. They don't know how right. to prepare meals. They're not even in their culture. They're across the board. Every nationality just feeding off them. They just spending money. Half of the arguments being in the house, if you got police friends, ask them. They arguing about pork chop, cornflakes. You ate little Darryl cornflakes. Who ate the last steak in the house? This is the type of issues we got. These are very serious issues.
Yeah, no. It is. It is. It is very true. And I thank you for bringing it to the table. D?
Yeah, so.
Demetrius 305.
And we can stay on that topic every week if you do it. I appreciate it. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, babe.
You're doing a wonderful job. Crespo doing a wonderful job. James, your boy, man, just keep it up. Because we freedom fighters, bro. That's what we are.
Amen.
No doubt.
And sure. Amen. Thank you, Demetrius. Mika. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Yes, I would just like to say it's sad. One of our biggest problems, why we can't stick together, because our black people are killing each other. For what? You understand?
Well,
and the parents act like they don't know, but they're right there with them. And then when you got a funeral next weekend, they act like they didn't know what my child was doing. We got to get together as black parents and find out what our kids are doing and where are they. They are our future.
Why do you think there's such a disconnect, Mika? What are parents doing that they are not paying attention to their children the way that we used to?
Because a lot of them are not. You know, I see it every day. I see it happening. You know, the kids need to be more supervised. And like the gentleman was saying, when you speak to the kids and say something to them, hey, you ain't my mama, don't tell me what to do, but you out there tearing up the merchandise of the community.
Right.
They're trying to fix up and make the community beautiful. The kids out there breaking up the trees.
Tearing it down.
Up the rooftops of the rent office and tearing up everything.
Yeah.
And when you say something to them, they come back with the whole family want to beat you up.
Right.
And it's sad.
Yeah, it is. Right. I chuckle, but it's sad, but it is true. Thanks so much for your call, Mika. Appreciate it. I want to bring in Dr. Patrick Anthony Williams, PhD, who is a Fulbright Memorial Fund Scholar to Japan, a Silver Knight Award recipient in foreign language. He speaks 7, a certified educator, motivational speaker, plays classical piano, sings opera, and lectures extensively at numerous universities within the United States and around the world. Dr. Williams is a man who knows success and great adverse as well. Dyslexic from a horrible accident in middle school and teased by classmates for being stupid, he proved them all wrong, focused, and succeeded. Homeless and attending FIU, he slept in the university buildings, in the street, and then in a car. But as a wise woman once told me, your shame will be your success. And as a result, he started talking about dyslexia, homelessness, suicide, self-esteem, multiple intelligences, and learning styles, which blessed him as a school teacher to understand the real problems of his students. A Bachelor's of Arts in Spanish from Florida International University, a Master's in Education and Social and Cultural Foundations of Education from Florida Atlantic. There are too many to mention. I swear to you, we'd be here. Listen, and I abbreviated it. He is a member of Kappa Delta Phi, the International Honor Society in Education. Please welcome Dr. Patrick Williams.
Thank you, Jim.
So, you know, Mika was just saying, thank you for coming. I'm so glad to see you again. Mika was just saying
13
years. I know. Can you believe it? He did this amazing summit with the police on Miami Beach that Crespo put together.
Right.
That was, it was just amazing. And we tried to re-up it again.
But
you know how we just can't support one another. I'm not going to even get into it, but you know, a bunch of us came to the table to try to make it happen. And then we left the room and then everybody went off and did their own thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we, really? something came about. I mean, I did one with all the chiefs of police, and that was really
good. Awesome.
Yeah.
With what was his name?
Chuck Press.
Yeah. Press. Yes. Oh, awesome.
But King Dr. Taz don't call nobody when he go, you know. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and I call you, man. Come on now.
Okay.
But I want to address the issue with, I think, Demetrius 305. Mm-hmm. He taught. There's something in education. A scholar by the name of John Ogbu. And the Ogbuyan theory talks about voluntary minorities and involuntary minorities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he said that Jamaicans, Mexicans, not Mexicans, but Jamaicans, your Haitian, just your black Caribbean people who come to this country, mm-hmm. yes, are what he called voluntary minorities. And black Americans he refers to as involuntary minorities. Mm-hmm. And the way how we perceive this oppressive force, yes, the racism that the involuntary minorities, your African Americans, they see it as a barrier. Whereas your blacks who came to this country, your voluntary minorities, mm-hmm. they see it as an obstacle to overcome.
Mm. Wow.
So the mindset is different.
That's powerful.
Yeah, the mindset is different. So if you have that particular mindset where your involuntary minorities see this as a barrier, then their action is going to follow as, hey, I can't do this. I can't do this. But where you see it as an obstacle, it's to overcome. You're going to go ahead and try to make it happen.
Right. Because could that be, though, because your experience in the countries that, you know, you're from Jamaica or Haiti or, you can't really explain that. You know, why is it that I know slavery has a major role in that, about why we see it just living through this in America as a barrier.
One of the things I noticed, I mean, I grew up in Jamaica and I see myself in textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
I see pictures of me in textbooks. Right. So images, it plays a lot in this whole idea of how it formulates into your mind. I see myself on TV.
Right.
Yes. I see teachers who look like me.
Mm.
So I'm all over. The imagery is so powerful.
Right.
Yes. So, and that's why it's very important to have these images in schools to show our young black men and women mm-hmm. that we are powerful, we are great, we have done this, you know, we built civilization, really.
It is so true, because I say that a lot to Missy. When I was growing up, my mom always read a lot of magazines, and I've taken up that, but she made sure that she had all the black magazines to balance the other ones. And there was always a level of sort of anger that in these other, in Vogue and Bizarre and other ones, that A, there were no black women, and if they did, they weren't received as beautiful as they were in the black publications. It's really interesting. Did we?
We still got black, beautiful black women today, Jill.
Oh, I mean, Jill is here. I mean,
you know.
Well, of course, you know. There weren't a lot of. If it weren't for my mother, you know, being so cognizant of having positive black images of women and families and in my life, it's very well I could grow up without them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do grow out. I mean, you think about the images now that young people are growing up with of African Americans,
and hence this whole self perception.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the quality of your actions stem from the quality of your thinking.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, some of these images that they see,
let that marinate,
are some, a lot of them are successful too, and
right
play. So I think, you know, all our people are not. We're in a state of emergency, but just to put a blanket, you know, thing about all black folks are you know, thugs and just not prepared in life, I think it's not a fact. I think there is, unfortunately, a higher percentage of people that are stuck in poverty because of the economic situation they're in. In some of these urban communities.
Our resources
So they're doing, you know, they're reacting more. It's a less tolerance. And not just black folks. You could be on I-95. Well,
I was going to say young people, period.
Yes. Yeah, blow your horn. They're getting out the car. I seen this guy literally get out the car on I-95, stop, because the guy was blowing the horn.
At him.
Got out
in
traffic. And the guy backed up and, you know,
tried to get away.
And he wasn't black.
The guy that got out of the car. Yeah, no. Well, he knew what to do.
But there is a problem in our communities with violence and stuff. There's no question about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Philip, hi. Welcome to Hot Talk. And we're going to segue. Philip, hi. Welcome to Hot Talk.
Hi, Jill. And I definitely want to say good evening to your guest.
Thank you.
I have a particular question for him. I hope you go back and briefly talk about that minority and the difference between the perceived and the ones that are coming here and those that are here, because I see it in my own life, dealing with various organizations and groups. And when we come together, we do tend to come together. We come up with a plan, but as we leave, the plan tends to dissipate. And I think that goes right through our entire lives, which even leads to our instability in our family lives. But that was a very interesting concept. And me being an African-American, I really would like to hear just a little bit more about that.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. And thank you very much.
Yeah, I brought it up because of what I think Demetrius came out with. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because the blacks coming or migrating to the United States we both had African-Americans, including the Caribbeans or the blacks that were there. We both came from oppressive places. You know, it was already here, it was already there. Mm-hmm. But somehow in the islands, it was a lot different. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think what you said is very, very true, that you had a myriad of representations of what it meant to be black and Jamaican, and you had enough of them
exactly.
that you had a range of. And
oh, yeah. When here in the United States, you were constantly, it was Jim Crow.
It was where you were.
Exactly. And then
would
again,
you agree,
we sort of have to, I mean, those migrants, what we call voluntary minorities, we have a place to go back to.
That's very true.
We always have a sense of home, yes? But for the African-American, where is home? Given right. that they were extracted from their homeland, if you will, quote unquote, yes? But they are so far away removed from this embodiment of seeing that Africa is home.
Right. Yes? That's true, because you ask the average, you ask 10 African-Americans, is Africa your home? Mm-hmm. And 8, I guarantee you will say no.
There is a commonality of just being black. And you can say African Americans, we all from Africa, that we don't practice as much as we need to compared to the majority of the population, right? So you got people coming from Ireland, you got people coming from Italy, you got people coming from Israel, and the common denominator with them is that, you know, everybody's white. So there's disagreement amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
But when the rubber hits the road, there is a commonality. Mm-hmm. And I think for us sometimes, you know, not everybody, there is a disconnect. I'm black Cuban, you're black Jamaican, the brother over there is from Georgia, somebody else from Ghana. And everybody is still at the end of the day struggling and living in the same neighborhoods. But there's a disconnect sometimes. And not even language, just...
Yeah. I think just that's what Philip was saying, that yeah. there is, yeah. you know, you kind of come together, but then you leave. And then, you know, and depending on what group you're leaving with, it's either... Or is girl, well, please? I mean, you
one, know, one famous you, one you know. Famous author said it that we're not Jamaicans, we're not Cubans, the blacks in Cuba, we're not Haitian, we're all Africans mm-hmm. who were just one dropped off
in different
places.
Right. Well, if you want to get technical about it, if life began in Africa, everybody is African. But you exactly. know what? One thing about Demetrius, I got to tell you, back in the '90s, early '90s, he used to have this little club on 7th Avenue, okay. little lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have the most crazy political conversations, man, just right there. Larry yeah. Dog, everybody. We should go up in the front. And even some thugs that weren't thugs, yeah. if you want to call them that for the purpose
yeah,
of the discussion.
Well, I mean, I've always said, if
just
you put...
Just talk out there in front of the...
If you put street knowledge and sweet knowledge together, it would be an incredibly powerful thing. And that's one of the blessings of what we have in the African American community. We're everywhere. We're in the street. We're in the sweets. And you know
the whole thug idea. I think thug for me, I mean, symbolizes someone who has maintained his or her identity and still working in this oppressive state and still shine. Mm. It's like it's in your face.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm in yeah. your face and look at my image.
Right. Right. And love it.
That's the real thug. I mean, right. you're in their face. You're not hiding right. in the neighborhood. you know.
You should put a pic. You should pick. Listen, especially after, and that's one of the things that I just love about Taz, and you will too. You should, Missy, you should put a picture up of Taz on after that eloquent delivery of his bio. You should put his picture up because it's all the more powerful because just what you said, you own who you are, and I think that so many of us in the worlds that you walk in would be afraid to own it the way that you do. I've always loved that. Line two, Robert. And Brother Albert, there he is. Hi, Robert. Welcome to Hot Talk.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Man, I mean, ma'am, I just have to say this, and I'm going to be quick about it.
Okay, Robert.
The answer to black people's problem is so simple, but it just looks complicated. It's not complicated. If I had the power, I would make every black person that go to school go do what they call a curriculum on life on a plantation. The people simply doing the same thing they did on the plantation. They just modified it. Mm-hmm. That's all they doing.
No, we have integration.
Ain't no such thing as no good half, bad half. Quit bending your back to a slave master junior babies. Okay?
Okay.
They still doing the same thing on the plantation. Slave master junior doing the same thing to the black girl. She up until my got good hair.
Okay.
His fake black baby, all of a sudden, not only is not black, it became black, and it's the prettier of the black people. Quit bending your back. All hair is good because it's made by God. Now,
amen.
I want to say this to the people.
Right, your that's
hair
right.
Your hair is an antenna to your brain. Just like the white man got an antenna to his TV, God got an antenna to your brain. It's called the correct texture of your hair. All black people got nappy hair.
It's called coarse.
People did before you came in the world.
Right.
She'll fake black baby in the black region. Once some black guy run with my out, I like that better than the two black people, baby.
Okay. Thank you so much, Robert. Robert has a thing with hair. One day off air, me and Robert are going to have a conversation about the hair. Brother Albert on line one, welcome to Hot Talk.
Peace, brothers and sisters.
Peace, well, Brother Albert. How are you, sir?
Because everything you all are talking about, we're all affected by it. And the only thing that's going to solve our problem, the messenger says, is for us to unite. And as Minister Farrakhan has said, the mind and brain is made for truth. We have never, ever been given truth since we've been here.
Hmm.
We've been separated totally. Everything that can possibly destroy a man and woman and child has been perpetrated upon us. Can you imagine a crown of thorns on all of our heads?
Yes, I can, actually.
Nails put in all of our hands? Can you imagine shackles put on our feet? Can you imagine we being called what they call dry bones? We've been put in a boiling pot. Everything that was within us and on us was been taken out.
And yet, and as Maya Angelou would say, and still I rise. And so that's the commentary. You know, what is the next step for us?
The only thing we can do, I guarantee you this would work.
Okay.
If we would separate all of our children and our women and look at the problem that they have and put truth within their mind. Just constantly feed them truth instead of falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell them about no white Jesus. We got to bring it all up.
Oh, all there you go, my brother.
Us. Yeah.
Every way that can possibly destroy us and separate us has been put upon us. And we're going to have to unite, get the knowledge of self, God, and the devil, realize the importance of our mind, and it's all upon us. And once we feed truth within us, that's going to solve our problem. But our enemy's duty is to keep us divided and separated.
Well, that's very true. But Brother Albert,
if you notice, scripture in the Quran says that there was only a remnant of all those millions of people that Abraham talking about the sand and all of that, how our population is going to be. It was only a remnant that was saved. That means that the whole world worked against us. And it's working. So what is going to have to happen now, the only thing going to save us is our unity and our togetherness.
Amen.
Mr. Farrakhan, the first what we call, you call it the Million Man March. We call it Noah's Ark that came through. Of all the people that spoke, like that brother said, Mr. Farrakhan left us an 8-point atonement plan.
Right.
Which was to...
That was Crespo.
To unite and get rid of our problem within us and get close to God.
All right.
He told us what we're going to have to do because we've all committed some kind of wrong.
That's very true.
What we're going to have to do is confess our wrong. Just like the Bible says, confession of sins is good for the soul.
Amen.
We have so much going against one another and ourselves. He said, that's going to do that. So once we can get next to God, that's the only thing that's going to save us.
That's going to save us. God, and be going to this commercial break.
We've been told nothing but lies.
Yeah, it's very true, Brother Albert.
The difficult job it is to get right back into our mind and put what's supposed to be in there.
In there.
That's why scripture tells you.
Like this commercial I got to go to.
Renewing of the mind. Jesus said, as a man thinketh, so is he.
So is he.
If you're wrong, you're going to be wrong.
And I'm going to be wrong if I miss this commercial. Thank you. I love you, Brother Albert. I'm up against a break. Coming up on the other side. Listen, we have so much to talk about. Those of you still holding on the line, I'm coming. Twan, and I don't know who those others are, but we'll be back after this break. Black Lives Matter. But does this movement anymore? We'll talk about it. This is Hot Talk.
Am I supposed to like just cut in while they talking?
It's a hot night. Let's talk about the sign of the time. Politics in the fight of a revolutionary best soul singer. It's a hot night. Head down to the club for the bean and the bottles for alcohol. And let's talk about the world, y'all. But it's a hot night. Let's talk about the sign of the time.
It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live, always local. Produced by Missy Bailey.